Malachi in chapter 3. I want to say again, thank you for allowing us to come. I feel insufficient, and that's the way it should be, coming to this great church. I don't know what I'm doing here. I just told the Lord today on the way over. I said, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm glad to be here, but with all the good preachers we have in the building and behind us, boy, I tell you, I'm grateful to be here. He could have picked anybody. There's probably ladies in here who could probably out-preach me, but I'm thankful to have this opportunity to be here. And I'll just trust the results to the Lord. Malachi chapter 3, we'll start in verse 1, where the Bible says, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. He shall sit as a refiner and purify of silver. He shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old and as in the former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and will be swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, that turn aside the stranger from his right and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that ye may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept this ordinance, that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now you call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that fear the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened, and the heard, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Lord, touch us again this evening. Lord, I pray that you'd make me a help to this church. People, Lord, that you bled and died for. Lord, I pray that the Holy Ghost would preach, Lord. And we'll thank you now for all that you do, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This book of Malachi is a book that reminds us of the value that God places on his covenants. God has made several covenants with these people, the Jews, and God no doubt keeps his word. Look, if you would, quickly in chapter 2 in verse 5, God tells them there, he says, my covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear therewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. Then in verse 8, he says, but ye departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have corrupted the covenant of the Levites, saith the Lord of hosts. Chapter 2, verse 10, again, he reminds them about the covenant. Chapter 2 and verse 14, he mentions again his covenants. Chapter 3 and verse 1, he again sends his messenger to remind them of his covenants. God is a covenant-keeping God. And the nation of Israel here has been sent a messenger by the name of Malachi to remind them that God has placed high value upon his covenants. The historians tell me that this book of Malachi was written during the days of Nehemiah, when worship had been reestablished back at Jerusalem. The temple had been rebuilt, but there was a problem. They had the buildings, but they had no heart. They had the music, but there was no reason to sing. They had the dress, but there was no connection with their conviction. God reminded them of his faithfulness and their unfaithfulness. But in this passage of Scripture, this chapter that I read tonight in your hearing, there are three crowds that the Holy Ghost has given us. Three different types of crowds in this text. And tonight, with God's help, I want to preach on the three crowds of the book of Malachi chapter 3. You'll notice in verse 14, the crowd that said it isn't worth it. In verse 14, God said, "Ye have said it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we keep his ordinances?" This crowd said it wasn't worth it. They not only thought that, they said that with their own mouth. And God marked their mouth and said, "This crowd said it is vain, or it isn't worth it to serve God." This crowd had made up their mind to walk away. This crowd had made up their mind that quitting was more worth it than sticking with it. This crowd said that it was vain to serve the Lord. Look in verse 7. God says there in verse 7, he said this passage, he says, "Return unto me." And he said, "And I will return unto you." In verse 7, he said, "I want you to come back." They'd gone away. And they said, "Wherein shall we return?" They were in deliberate defiance against the fact that they was backslidden. See, they was going through the motions. They knew just what song to sing and when to shout during that song. They knew just what to wear and when to sit, smile and when not to wear it. They had it all in line. But God said, "You said it wasn't worth it." Now, I know we're not real close yet, and I've done preached all the sugar sticks I've got here already, so we're all trouble now. But I'll promise you, in a crowd this size, there's some folks that maybe said it under their breath. "It just isn't worth it anymore. It just doesn't seem to be paying out to serve the Lord." I'll guarantee you that thought has crossed your mind if you've ever tried to serve God. There's folks here that probably said it isn't worth it to keep giving money. There's probably folks in here that said it isn't worth it to keep teaching classes. And this crowd says, "God said, you said it wasn't worth it." You know, Songs of Solomon said, "It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. They don't come along and just take it all at once. It's those little things that go through the fences of our lives. It's those little things, and they just pick a little bit by little bit before they take it all away." God reminds them in his passage of Scripture that he keeps his promise, that he promised to sustain them. This crowd assumed that sacrifice was serving God. They thought just because they brought it in that was sufficient enough. They thought just because they were sitting in their place that was sufficient enough. But God reminds them it wasn't their sacrifice that he wanted. This is going on. Nehemiah has built the walls. They're sacrificing there in the capital city of Jerusalem. Things are going just like they was before. They're out of the captivity. But God says, "Looky here. I can see as you're laying that sacrifice down, you're mumbling in your heart, it isn't worth it to serve the Lord." They assume sacrifice was serving God. Look in chapter 1 and verse 6. He said this. He said, "A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts? O ye priests that despise my name." This crowd that said it isn't worth it just assumed you could go through the motions and God would be pleased. Hey, sometimes church And I need a decent amen. Faithfulness is all you got. Amen. Sometimes that's all you got is just faithfulness. You try to stay in your spot. You try to keep doing what you can do. But God wanted more from this crowd. God wanted them to say it's worth it. This crowd that said it isn't worth it assumed that sacrifice was serving God. 1 Samuel 15:22 says it like this. To obey is better than sacrifice. It isn't our money that God wants. He wants us. It isn't our sacrifice of serving God in a church and outside the church. He wants us. God wants us to be totally sold out. Burn all the bridges. Sign the blank sheet and say, God, I'm yours. That's what he wants from every Christian. This crowd assumes that sacrifice is serving the Lord. This crowd assumes second best is satisfactory. In chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, it says this, ye offered polluted bread upon my altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? And that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind or sacrifice, it is not evil. And if ye offer the lame and sick, it is not evil. Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? He said, and now I pray you beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. God said, hey, you've been bringing your leftovers to the house of God. He said, hey, you've been bringing it, and I'm grateful for it. He said, but look it, second best is not good enough. He said, I want it all. I want you to just pour it all out on me. I'm going to tell you, we're in church just about every night of our lives, and sometimes during the day, and sometimes you get weary, and you begin to drag. But every time I get up, I try to give everything I've got, whether it's a crowd of 5 or 500, I try to just lay it all out there and give it to God. And I'm going to tell you, I've seen the deliberate eye rolls. I've heard the great big sighs. I've seen the giggles and the smirks and all of that stuff. But I'm going to tell you, I'm not standing behind this pulpit tonight to impress you or to get you to like me. I'm standing here because God Almighty deserves my best. And God said, hey, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're mine. And I'm glad you're yours, but give me your best. I think the choir should sing and bust something during the song. Amen. I think while we raise our hands, we ought to tear our suit coats. I'm saying, give God our absolute best. God said this crowd assumes second best is satisfaction. It's the crowd that said it isn't worth it. This next crowd, and I'm hurrying, this next crowd says this, watch in verse 15 of chapter 3. The other crowd said it pays to sin, or sin pays. In verse 15, God said, and now you call the proud happy, and yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, that they that tempt God are even delivered. God said, I heard what you said. You said sin pays. This crowd had the idea that those that were living a disobedient life were being blessed by God. They called the proud happy. We're living in days where men are seeking after glory. And all of the sickness and disgusting stuff of that mess, I'm going to tell you, it's the same day that we're reading in this. This crowd was seeking men's applause. They were searching after honor from men. They wanted people to say nice things about them. They wanted people to applaud them during their service. It was Hollywood Christianity is what we're living in right here in this day. He said, you call the proud happy. I'm going to tell you tonight, look at here. God resisteth the proud, and he giveth grace to the humble. I'm going to tell you tonight, look at here. There's no one under this tabernacle tonight that would be proud, and God honor them. God only gives honor to the humble. But this crowd said, sin pays. Look at chapter 2 and verse 17. I'm hurrying. Yes, I'm in a hurry. He says, ye have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he that delighteth in them, or where is the judgment of God? They were saying, they got away with it. Look at how bad they're living, and they got away with it. I can live that same way. And then when God chastised them, they got bent out of shape about it. They begin to say, hey, how come they got away with it and I didn't get away with it? I skipped out on Sunday night church and God broke down my car. They said, hey, what's going on here? But that person over there can skip out every other day of the week. They begin to say, sin pays. You say, are you saying that isn't that sin? Him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is sin unto him. That's what the Bible says. I mean, just knowing to do it and not doing it is sin. But this crowd said, hey, sin's paying. They said the proud are happy people. They're getting men's applause. They're getting the promotions. They're getting all this stuff over here. And they're proud as a peacock. They're arrogant. And God said, I've heard what you've said. You said the proud are happy. He said in verse 17 of that chapter, he said, and they're getting by with it. He said, you getting by there. You're letting them get by with it, God. They're charging God foolishly. I know you're all looking at me like you don't ever do that. But I'm going to tell you, I pastored those years up in Michigan, and there's lakes everywhere in Michigan. I mean, and every morning I'd get up, Pastor Jones. I'd step out of my front porch, and my neighbor would drive by in a brand new Skeeter bass boat. And I thought to myself, how in the world can a fellow like that get up every Sunday morning? He timed it right. He was waiting for the preacher to step out to enjoy his coffee and get spiritual just to drive past me in that Skeeter boat. You know what? And I'd get in my heart sometimes. I'd say, Mama, look at this guy here. He's skipping out on church. He's probably living like the devil, and he's driving a Skeeter, a boat across the lake. And then I'd sit back there and think, but I could barely afford the gas and the trolling motor of that bass boat. And you know what? I'm doing the best I can. You know what I was saying? I was saying, hey, the proud is happy, and he's getting by with it. But I'm going to tell you, this crowd says, material possessions can make you happy. But you know what? Hey, you may never listen to another word I say, but remember this. There's just some things money can't buy. There's just some things tonight money can't get a hold of. Hey, I like old Zig Ziglar, don't you? He said money can buy a nice mattress, but it can't buy a good night's sleep. Amen. Hey, I slept like a baby last night. You know why? Because I got a God that hovers over me. I got a God that said he'd take care of all of my needs. Hey, there's just some things money can't buy, honey. And I know you like them shiny cars and fancy suits and big hair, but I'm going to promise you tonight, look at here, all that stuff's going to fade away. All that stuff, oh, I know he looks sharp in his new suit, but pretty soon he's going to bust the buttons out of that, amen? You keep drinking sweet tea, honey, and I'm going to tell you, you're going to lose that figure too. I'm going to tell you, all this stuff passes away, but God promises are sure. He said, hey, you said the proud is happy. You said the material possessions make you happy. They weren't happy. They had everything. You read this book and go follow the historians. They had it all. They got out of the prison. They got out of the captivity. They reestablished the capital city there, built the walls up. Everything was going good. They was getting married. They were going to church every Sunday. But I'm going to tell you, they weren't happy because they was discontented. And discontentment is like an old cancer. It just eats away at a heart. He said material possessions can't make you happy. They said men's applause is the sign of success. Look at chapter 3, verse 15. And now you call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. This crowd said, sin pays. I'm going to tell you, watch chapter 4 real quick. I got to hurry. Chapter 4, he says, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as the calves of the stall. God just said, his messenger said, I'm going to remind you that there is a payday coming. He said, I want to remind you that you said sin pays and it is vain to serve the Lord. But God said, Malachi, you tell them that there is a payday coming. There's going to be a day where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Hey, that crowd that's causing chaos up there, tearing down statues and heritage of America. And I'm not saying that because I'm in South Carolina. I just said it in Michigan last night or the other night. I'm saying that because it's true. That crowd's going to bow their knee one day. That crowd that says this is all a bunch of foolishness and we ought to be out someplace besides church. That crowd one day is going to find out that sin don't pay. You ain't getting by with it. God's keeping record of this stuff. God knows every deed that's ever done in this building. Behind closed doors and behind blinds, God sees it all, and he knows about it. We ain't getting by with nothing. God said, there's payday. I'm going to fix this thing one thing when it's all over with. We have the crowd that said it isn't worth it to serve the Lord. We have a crowd that said sin pays. And then this last crowd, I've been in a hurry to get here all night, this crowd here. Then there's the crowd that said it's worth it. Look in verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that fear the Lord and that thought upon his name. This is the group of people, church, that I want to be with. This is the crowd that said it's worth it. This is the crowd that reminded each other often that it's worth it. This crowd was persistent. I'm sure they ran into the same thing we ran into, those quitting places, those times where it's hard to serve God and live right. But this crowd was persistent. They pushed past their feelings. They pushed past all of that stuff and the pressures of this world, and they made up their mind it's worth it to serve the Lord. They just worked through those hard times and difficult times and those not so easy places. When everything's great, they pushed through. They were persistent. They kept saying, it's worth it. They kept saying, hey, it's worth it to serve God. When temptations come to quit and throw in the towel, they just whisper, it's worth it. When the struggle to find relief from all of the temptations, they just whisper and say, it's worth it. This crowd was no doubt persistent, but this crowd was persuaded. They were persuaded that living right is one day going to be a reward at the end. Now, I don't look like I run much, but I used to. It's all the potlucks I've been going to over the last couple years. But you know, I've run a few races in my life, and I ain't never had anybody come running alongside me while I was running the race and give me a ribbon. I ain't never had anybody run by me and say, hey, you're running pretty good. I think you'll get a second place ribbon. Here you go. No, 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 neighbor. You got to cross the finish line to get the prize, and everybody wants the rewards now, but I'm going to tell you tonight, look at here. Rewards are given out at the finish line. When this thing's over and we cross that gate and we make our way on the other side, God's going to pass out the rewards then. Hey, we might not get anything down here, but I'm going to tell you, it's worth it tonight to serve God. I like what 2 Timothy 1:12 says. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul said, I'm persuaded. I'm going to tell you, this crowd said it's worth it. You know, I started thinking about what church is. I asked the Lord today, what in the world am I doing here at Gateway? That's what I asked the Lord. I said, surely you, Brother Davey, and I'm glad, I'm grateful, but Davey could have picked the South's full of good preachers. And I mean, I thought, Lord, I'm grateful, but I mean, I don't know what in the world I'm doing here. I'm just going to do my best. He said, tell them it's worth it. Tell them, you know what church is? It's where we get together often and we just shake each other's hands and say, hey, I thought I'd just stop in here tonight to tell you it's worth it. Amen. Hey, we go around and we get that right hand of fellowship. We look at each other and say, I know you're going through it, but I just want to stop and tell you it's worth it. Hey, 32 years of struggling and building and laboring. Hey, God just sent me here tonight to tell you this. It's worth it. Because one day soon, amen, one day real soon, God's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I had a preacher friend of mine say, Brother Jones, you're not going to hear that. Kind of bursted my bubble. I thought, what do you mean? He said, I'll guarantee you won't hear well done. You'll probably hear he done what he could. Leave him alone. I mean, either one of those works for me. Either one of those worked for me. I'm going to tell you, don't give in to the lies of the devil. I'm going to tell you, there's some folks probably wanting to throw in a towel here tonight. This old devil's been pushing. This old world's a rocking and a reeling. They're putting the pressure on us. I'm going to tell you, the longer we serve God, sometimes you say, boy, is it worth it? It's worth it. It's worth it. And God said they met often and said, hey, it's worth it. I'm going to tell you tonight, that's the only way we're going to keep going is if we tell each other it's worth it. Go to chapter 1 real quick, and I'm going to be finished here. You know, those two crowds, the two first crowds, that crowd that said it isn't worth it and the crowd that said sin pays. I hate to tell you this, but any one of us could fall in that crowd before the night's over with. Something bad could happen to us tonight, and you know what we could say? Well, it just isn't worth it. I've given my tithe. I've been given the message. I've been in that church. And look at all this trouble. I've heard it from some of the greatest preachers I know. We could fall into that crowd. But I thought, where did this all begin? How in the world could God's people say it isn't worth it? God said, I heard you say it. He said, I marked your lips. I heard you say it wasn't worth it. Where did they start? Where would a Christian begin to say sin pays? Or you can get by with it. Where does it all begin? chapter 1. Chapter 1, God reminds them. He sends his first message to this messenger, Malachi. He says, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. Here's his first statement. I have loved you, saith the Lord. God's very first message is, I love you. I remember reading about a great theologian back in the 1800s. Boy, I'm telling you, he was one of them deep studying guys. And they had an interview. They wanted to interview this fellow and find out what was the deepest thing that he's ever researched and studied in his life. And this is what he said. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Look up here at this Yankee preacher. If that ever gets old, if that doesn't move you, you are calloused and backslidden as the devil's second cousin. If that fact that Jesus loves you with all of your misery and sin and pulled you out with nothing in expectation, if that doesn't move you, nothing will. But watch their response. This is where it all starts. In verse 2, he said, I loved you. And they said, wherein hast thou loved us? It's where it all starts. I'll tell you how you can come out of these doors and say, it isn't worth it, when you forget God loves you. I'll tell you how you get out of here and say, hey, sin pays, when you forget God loves you. I'm going to tell you, that's the deepest thought tonight that any of us could think, that God would love us. There was nothing lovable about us. There was nothing that God could look down there and live without when he saw us. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And when you think on that thought, church, you know what you got to say? It's worth it. When you think about that, you know what you got to say? It's worth it. He's worthy of every long drive, every dollar bill we put in the offering plate. It's always worth it when you know God loves you. I'm going to say tonight, it's worth it. As the piano, my kids come and sing a song of invitation. Always a story that helps me finish. Tell you a story. I read about a woman who was going to swim across the English Channel. Never been done before by a woman. I don't know what the distance is. They say it's 10, 12, 15 miles. I don't know what it is across there, but she's gonna do some swimming. Be the first lady to swim across the English Channel. And I'm going to tell you, that day, that word got out that she's going to try to attempt it. So all the media gathered together. I wish I could think of that lady's name. It's slipped my mind. But she got out that day to swim across that English Channel, and they all gathered around there. But the day she decided to do it, a fog set in, one of them real thick fogs. And boy, she got in there and got her stuff all geared up, and her daddy came up with a good idea. He said, you swim, and I'll get in a rowboat, and I'll lead you across in this heavy fog. So they did that. Boy, he got in that rowboat and began to row, and he made a trail for her. And boy, they swam for 10 minutes. 15 minutes, 25 minutes, 30 minutes. Boy, that old fog got him so disoriented. They were zigzagging across that channel. 35, 40 minutes. And she said, Daddy, I can't go anymore. He said, just a little bit, just a little bit. She said, Daddy, I can't go. 45 minutes in this cold water has put me under. She climbed in the boat, preacher, and he rowed her 10 yards to the shore. You say, what's that got to do with this message? You know what happens to folks like us? The world gets in a fog. And I'm going to tell you, it just seems like we're ready to throw in the towel. We're ready to quit. We're trying to do our best to keep our head above water. But you know, she got done with that. They rowed her to shore. She went in, they had a tent set up. She went in there and changed. She come out there and all them microphones, ESPN and, you know, Fox, all them news people wanted to interview her failure. She stood there with her head hung low. I'll never forget what she said. They asked her some questions, but this one question, she said this. They said this, what would it have taken for you to finish? She said, if I could have just seen the shoreline, if I could have just seen the shoreline, I'd have finished. You know what happens? Fog sets in our lives, don't it? Boy, we can't see the shoreline. We forget God loves us. We forget that he's gone to prepare a place. And I'm going to tell you, we're swimming. We're doing everything we can to do. But a lot of times, we quit 10 yards from the shoreline. We throw in the towel and say it wasn't worth it. We throw in the towel and say it just isn't worth it. And you know what happened? Jesus about come about that time, take us on home. God sent me to this church, and I tell you this, 32 years, praise God for that. It's still worth it. It's still worth it. Tonight as they sing, we're standing to our feet. Maybe tonight you need to come get made up your mind.